You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
As the Phillies enter week two of action, I thought it was going to be important to get one of the five starting pitchers for your Philadelphia Phillies right here on Pine Talk for Breakfast. Zach Eflin is joining me next for a great episode and a great conversation. Probably mostly golf. Maybe not. I don't know. We'll find out. Zach Eflin coming up next.
In the air to left field.
Coming down. What up? And welcome to another episode of Pine Tar for Breakfast. And yeah, it's only taken 2 years. One of these guys is going to come on, and I finally got a taker. Zach Eflin, pitcher for your Philadelphia Phillies, joining me right here on Pine Tar for Breakfast. What's up, F?
What's going on? How you doing?
Thanks for having me. I'm a little bored. Usually right now I'm watching batting practice or somewhere on the half field, just watching and enjoying myself. It's a little different. Everything's from afar. So appreciate you coming on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. My pleasure.
First question. Number one is, how is it for you actually seeing some like real life human beings in the stands?
It was awesome. I had my start over in Lakeland, two outings ago, and it was really cool to see fans up in the stands and to hear them cheer and whatnot. So it was almost a little like breath of fresh air, you could say.
Yeah.
Cause it was pretty eerie last year, just in terms of, it just felt like a travel ball tournament, you know, when we were 12, 13, 14 years old with only parents in the stands. That's really what it felt like, but it's definitely nice to have fans back in the stands.
I think, you know me enough, I don't need a lot of, you know, substance with people being in the stands have energy, but I was devastated. I was like, this sucks. Like just a boo, just someone from the stands booing would like elevate, you know, some energy, like just having that the other day, or even going back and thinking about your starts last year, were there moments where you're thinking, fans in the stands, I don't feel tired with no fans in the stands, like you kind of feel it. Like there's a thought process now starting to go through your mind, or maybe not even any of that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. I think a big thing for me is I don't necessarily hear the fans a lot. I think, you know, a bunch of us as baseball players kind of black out when we get in between the lines.
The good ones do. Yeah, the good ones do. Yeah, the bad ones, like myself, we heard them.
So I don't necessarily hear them, but I feel them. You know what I'm saying? Like I could feel the energy and everything in the crowd. But it's tunnel vision for me all the time. So as much as it sucked last year, you know, it wasn't a huge difference for me because I'm so focused and, you know, locked in on the glove at all times. But it's definitely nice to get that energy back because I think that's something that, you know, every ball club needs.
And there's a difference too when you're focused on what you feel is a huge strength of yours. And last year, you and pitching coach Brian Price had such a good relationship from what we could tell, what you and I talked about many of times. What was it about him that unlocked something of you? Or the previous year, the last few starts that you had in 19, where you went back to that sinker, where you had that ability to go to your bread and butter and the confidence in it, was it that, or was it a combo of both?
I think it was a combo of both. I think I finally understood who I was as a pitcher and what I could, you know, what I could do, what I'm capable of. And Brian Price just essentially, I felt like he kind of unlocked that for me and made me aware of it. He was really good at nailing down a couple mechanical stuff that I would fall into a habit with. And he kind of mentioned a couple of things and I get right back on track. You know, whether it be picking up my target too late. So, you know, with my leg kick and everything, I'm kind of still looking at the ground and then picking up the glove and throwing, as opposed to picking up the target earlier and staying aligned and staying centered towards the plate. There are a lot of just little things that he would, you know, put in my ear that would, you know, help me kind of just flip a switch and get right back on page. So, but just to have his experience around and to be able to spend a year with him, and he's such a good man and such a good person and, you know, just an amazing coach. You know, he's kind of been in a bunch of different roles, and we were very lucky and blessed to have him as a coach. And, you know, we still talk to him to this day. And, you know, it's just, we're sad to see him go, but, you know, we're really thankful for the, you know, what he left with us.
Oh, hell yeah. I mean, because us in the broadcaster's booth, like the stuff that he would give us if we asked a question, we weren't trying to bombard him with anything. And he would come back with a couple paragraphs based on like talks. And he's so transparent with us. And it was like, wow, we really feel like we're at the, you know, understandably it's a text, but like we felt like we were there with him. Yep. And he had that passion towards us. So it's like we were huge fans of Brian yep. Price. Now, fifth pitching coach in 5 years. Let me ask you, is it difficult to hear different messages? Number one, I'll get to number two in a second.
Yeah. I wouldn't say it's difficult because I think at this point in my career, I've kind of figured out who I am. Like I said, the past couple of years. And I think the biggest thing being in this game is picking and choosing kind of what you hear. Because at the end of the day, you're the one with the baseball. It's your career. It's your business. So to be able to pick and choose what you hear from people and to apply it in different ways is probably the biggest part of the game. I think oftentimes when I was a younger pitcher, I would almost listen too much and try and instead of, you know, I think I was searching at a young age as opposed to applying and getting better. So I knew that at a point, I needed to be comfortable on the mound because I was the one that had to throw the ball to feed my family. So to get past all those obstacles, you know, it's difficult to have five pitching coaches in 5 different years. It's like having a different offensive coordinator every year.
Oh, for sure.
But you know, like I said, at this point in my career, I've learned so much and I feel like, you know, all of us are in a really good spot to succeed and we all feel that. And, you know, we're just going to keep applying what we've learned.
I think it's funny you bring it up because, it was in Miami. You and I had a conversation. Your agent was there. And I told you about like the struggles I had as a young like player. Cause you like, I feel like in talking to you and knowing you, like you're not better than anyone. Like in your mind, like you're going to listen. That was the same here. Like I listen to anyone. And when there was a struggle, it was like, what do you want me to do? It's like 3/4 on the right side of your foot. Try to feel it on that. Like if you feel like on your left toe, you know what I mean? Like stuff like yep. You're going through everything. And I just remember telling you, and it's to hear, you know, the same struggles, but there's a difference between you and me. Number one is like, you were able to overcome that very early. Right. And be able to understand who you are. And number two, having that success and having that confidence continue to build up year after year, that, I think plays such a big role with you.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think just the whole confidence level is so big on my part. Just kind of going on the mound and believing I'm the best person on the field has taken me a long way.
It's and, awesome.
You know, applying that with everything I've learned from, you know, 5 different pitching coaches is a pretty good recipe, you know.
I don't know. I won't even go there, but I would say like, so can you pick out one thing from each pitching coach and say how you apply it every day? And it'd be like, no, I don't want to get you there. So let's go with Kayla Cotham and how that relationship is going. It's a little different, obviously, probably not able to hang out with him as much as you would like, but there's still communication there. There's still a lot of feedback and everything. What has been your take of the new pitching coach, Caleb Cotham?
Oh, he's great. He's to begin with, he's amazingly smart. And he's a really good person, which is, you know, two of the better traits you can have. We've made it a thing this spring to, you know, have the starters throw early bullpen so that we have more time with Caleb, and just to pick his brain. You know, he's like I said, he's super smart, analytically wise, and what's great about Caleb is he values Lundy just as much as himself. And I think that's huge because Lundy's been around us for forever.
Yeah. And
most
love
of the guys. Exactly.
And you love him. So, I mean, it's like, it's an easy thing.
Exactly. So to be able to pick Caleb's mind, and he's talked a lot about tunneling and sequencing and the right spots to throw different pitches. And the thing that I really like about Caleb is he's not here to change you are who you are as a pitcher. He's here to better you all or to better yourself, while you're comfortable on the mound. Mm-hmm. So whatever makes you comfortable on the mound, he wants to elevate that game, not try and, you know, redefine or search for something else and get you better at that. So I value that a lot. you know, I think it's been a really good fit for us so far. And I think a lot of guys are learning a lot and, you know, it should show the season.
Well, it just matches up with, I had a conversation maybe a couple of days after he got hired. And I asked him about, you know, like things that he sees from, you know, certain guys. And I think one was Nola. And he just goes, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. Like, I've watched plenty of stuff on each guy, but I haven't talked to him yet. And I want to know thought processes, all this stuff before I make my final decision. And I was like, I kind of stopped. You know me, it's hard for me to not shut up. I mean, in certain things, he like that baffled me because so many guys want to say they have the answer.
Yep.
And he might have had the answer then, but there's that little piece, that little personal relationship part that he wanted to have first. And I felt like we had that last year with Brian Price. You move along to a guy like Caleb Cotham, I'm like, you guys are in good hands.
Yeah, absolutely. And that goes to the point of, you know, it's pretty easy to scout people, but it's even harder to know the guy and scout him at the same time and know what he's thinking while he's on the mound, what pitches he likes to throw. So to be able to get that inside information from all the pitchers is huge, because you have to know us on a personal level. So it's nice to, you know, it's nice to have someone come in and value that.
Oh, it's amazing. Like it just adds to the positive, like the way that the team should be built. It's not only just about the players, but the coaching staff that you surround it with. Are they, you know, pulling from the same side of the rope, or are they trying to make their own name? And it's like, he seems like a guy, Brian Price seems like a guy that you're going, yeah, they don't care about themselves. They're worried about you and they don't care about the credit. And that's a huge, huge upside for the Phillies.
That's all you can ask for.
Absolutely. You know? When it comes to the team, there is, we were told by Joe Girardi, I'm a big camaraderie guy, love how a team is built, all this stuff. And I was like, hey, what's spring training like? What are these guys able to do? Have you sensed anything? Is a, you know, close knit team? And he was telling us kind of like the layout, more seniority than anything is at the major league side. Minor league side is open for some guys too. So when I say camaraderie between the team, let's go pitching staff. How's that been during this different spring training that you guys are having to have?
Yeah, it's been great. We've had the opportunity to kind of hang out at the clubhouse when we can before our individual stretch times and stuff. And, you know, I think I say it every year is like this team just gets closer and closer. I mean, you can even separate us from COVID and you know, we're the same relationally, you know, just like we always have been. So it's been difficult with COVID and everything just because, you know, we're using all four fields or five fields, including the stadium to stretch and have different BP groups and have different conditioning groups and everything. So a lot of the times are staggered and it's difficult to see guys, but it's nice to be able to, you know, play around with some guys and go out and golf and, you know, sit down and have lunch with people. Cause we can actually do that, which is nice is, when we eat at the field, pretty much everyone eats around the same time. So we're able to sit down and have conversations with guys, but, we're in a really good spot, man. Love all the guys on the team and we really value how close we are as a group.
And you value the fact that you guys have had struggles late in the year together, I think, right? I mean, that is a part of what a team is. Like you have the good and then you have the bad. And then how do you go about it, you know, together? What's that been like? Maybe any talk about recent struggles, about how maybe starting off better, like starting off even, you know, hotter than you guys have in the past, which hasn't been that bad in recent years. But I mean, it's got to be significant for you guys in that clubhouse.
Oh, for sure. I wouldn't say there's necessarily a conversation teammates and just have a winning attitude every single day at the field. Because in reality, it sucks what we're going through right now with all the COVID stuff and everything. But, you know, we're here and we have to perform. And, you know, since we're here, we might as well win. So that's been the kind of common denominator throughout spring training is, you know, how much everybody wants to win. So it's been pretty special so far.
Yeah, it's great. Because, like, one of the things I don't know how you've been with the shortened games. I've loved it early on, and here's the reason why. I used to benefit my first spring training in 05 from playing those late innings, but these guys haven't played. A lot of guys haven't played like late, you know, for a year and a half, and we're seeing some sloppy play. So it's like kind of nice. Like, I'm sure it's nice going home at 3:30 rather than like 4:35.
For sure. For sure. And I think it takes some ABs away from guys, but I think at the point that we're at right now is, you know, coming off a game of 60 or coming off a season with 60 games and coming into spring training, I think it's pretty important to kind of limit the, what's the word for it? I don't know, limit the amount of play that all the guys are getting. Cause it's repetitive. Like you put your cleats on and you're in them for 2-3 hours a day, if not 4 hours a day. And it, you know, your body starts to kind of get tired and you don't feel as good. So it's nice to kind of limit the play of guys and get them in a groove so that they feel comfortable playing every day. They feel comfortable getting 3-4 at bats in a day. But hopefully we'll get to 9 innings here pretty soon and start playing some real baseball.
Oh my gosh, it's gonna be amazing. It's just like that. It's just perfect. I think because it you got to ease into this more than anything, and we're seeing that now. Part of, you know, this offseason obviously was Dave Dombrowski coming over and Sam Fold being elevated to general manager, and them re-signing JT. JT gets hurt early on in camp, but huge, I think, was that it was his throwing hand, because he's able to still catch you guys. Like, how important has that been to you, for you at least?
It's been big. You know, I kind of joked when he first broke his thumb, like, hey, that's not going to change the way, you know, you catch my bullpens. You're still going to have to catch them. I don't care what you say. But he's, you know, JT, like, he's all in for stuff like that. He's a gamer. He wants to compete. He wants to go out and get all his work in, even with a broken hand. You know, so yep. he's been doing that. He's been doing a better job of keeping his hand out of the way when we're working on our 2-strike breaking balls in the bullpen. So it's been a lot of fun. And it's nice to see him still have that winning attitude and the amount of care that he has to show up every day with a broken hand and still, you know, work hard. You know, you can't really teach that.
No. And a guy that you've thrown a lot to in the past too is Nappy, and him being back, the growth of him. I mean, like, look, he's always been loved. He's always had like one or the other each year because of just the amount of playing time or lack of playing time that he's had. It's kind of been inconsistent, and it's not anything against him. It's just part of the problems of being a young player on the bench. Last year was awesome. And so you throwing to him, talking to him, what do fans not realize about Andrew Knapp and how good of a catcher he is?
He's amazing, man. Like, I've been throwing to him since I was in Double-A when I first got traded over. And there's an immediate connection with him. You know, I kind of joke and say he that sometimes knows me better than myself. So the trust is through the roof with him, and it's been fun to watch him get some ABs early on this spring and get a consistent routine. Cause I think that's so important for a lot of guys. It's not easy, you know, catching once every fourth or fifth day and, you know, expecting to have a semi-decent batting average. I mean,
it's unbelievable.
You see live pitching once a week. You know, it's probably the hardest job in all of sports, and for him to keep the same attitude and energy and, you know, still fire people up is a gift. And he's doing a great job. It's just really exciting to see him get some consistent work in spring.
I'm not gonna say this is a topper, but for him to walk as much as he did last year, like, dude, when you're coming off the bench. Yeah. You're walking. I feel like, man, how do you do it?
It's a threat, man.
It's unbelievable.
He's in the back of people's minds. You know, he took such a big step offensively last year, and we've seen it in Double-A and in the minor leagues.
Yeah.
Like, when he has consistent reps, he's one of the best pure hitters I've ever seen from both sides of the plate. So, and to even last year's point, like, playing once every 4 or 5 days, being able to get out there and put up consistent competitive at bats, it's just something you value so much as a bench player, as a backup catcher. And, you know, all of a sudden going into this year, he's a huge name to come off the bench for a tight game and get a knock or draw a walk or do something. Like, he's going to be a very important factor for us this year.
No, for sure.
That's really exciting.
And when you say that, I mean, it adds in the third guy in Jeff Mathis, former teammate, close buddy, love him. What's it been like for you to throw to him, if you have, during, you know, bullpens to the game?
Yep. Yeah. He actually caught my first live, and, you know, everything I've ever heard about Jeff is that he's just an amazing catcher. He knows the game so well, and he is a pitcher's best friend. And that's exactly what it was. His ability to receive the ball and just to be a leader. I just don't think there's another group of catchers in the big leagues that can top JT, Nappy, and Jeff.
Not it's even just close.
Like it's just special. It really is. Just to be able to spend a bunch of time with them and pick all three of their brains. Like they all work together so well and we're having a blast. It's been really fun.
That's the thing though. They all work well together, but they all don't have the same way to accomplish something, right? Like in setting up hitters and talking. How does it, like, if you were to like shortly describe, JT versus Andrew versus a Jeff so far, could you make a difference on how they go about things?
Not necessarily. They're just, all three of them are just the most professional teammates you can be around. They complement each other so well, and they're all three amazing at receiving and calling a game and being a leader. And like I said, I think they just complement each other so well, and you can feel comfortable on any given day throwing to JT, Nappy, or Jeff. Like that's just how it is right now. So I think we're in a really good spot.
Well, look, it's not huge that JT is hurt, number one, but number two, to have Andrew, to have Jeff there to continue this, like the strides, nothing's going to be, I don't feel like you as pitchers are falling behind at all because of that rhythm, right? Sometimes some teams are so top heavy that when the backup comes in, you're like, I hope not. Like, you're not even thinking that. It just continues on.
We haven't skipped a beat at all. As you know, we miss JT more than anything because, you know, we need that bat. We need him behind the plate. But to have people come in and step up behind him, as in Nappy and Jeff, to have those two guys behind him is just such a compliment.
Dude, I thought you would have faced him. You have not faced Jeff Mathis.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I would love to have gotten the waffle or not on that one. we'll just claim that you just own him, just in general, and I'll talk crap to him about it. What you can ask Jeff is, he was a football player back in the day, and I think you would understand that, know that by seeing him. He took one of the greatest hits at home plate I've ever seen in my life in Texas with Chris Davis, Chris Davis. He blew him up like I've never seen before, and he shook it off and did. I was like, "How are you alive?" Like that dude.
It's a catcher's mentality, man.
No, that's
football mentality too. Yeah. That's the mentality you strive for.
Oh, absolutely. All right. I'd ask about your golf game, but no one cares about your golf game right now. Other than that, you're like a one, maybe even a plus now. But how's your baseball swing? Because the fact that the DH is not being used right now in the for the regular season, you got to hit again. Are you happy?
Yeah. I'm happy. Yes, I am happy. Yes. I love hitting. I love hitting any sort of, whether it be golf ball, baseball. I love it. It's competitive. It's fun for me. I like being able to help the team in any way I can. But with that said, I understand that the DH would create a lot more jobs for guys, which would be more beneficial for them. So, but with that being said, I can't tell you how good my swing feels right now because I've really only hit the cage once.
Yeah. Well, you could just say it just feels fantastic. Like, just no one knows.
See, I would say it feels fantastic, but I'd be lying to you, man.
That's fine.
It was the heaviest bat I've ever picked up in my life, and it was the slowest swing I've had in years. So hopefully I'll be able to turn that around, maybe get a lighter bat or something. But goodness gracious, it feels pretty heavy in my hands right now.
Were you one of those guys in the offseason going, like, yeah, I love to hit and all, but like, please DH, please DH, please DH?
I couldn't say I was one way or another. I'm really excited to hit again. I love it. Like I said, I love being a competitor. I love helping any way I can. There's no better feeling than smoking a baseball, not even feeling it off the barrel. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I'm excited for it. You know, if this is the last year, then so be it. But I'm really excited to get back out there and see if I can slap some balls around the field.
See, absolutely. You are a slapper for sure. Like, you get on the golf course, you're not a slappy. Like, I was a slappy on the baseball field. Golf course, no chance, right? Like, it's bombs away. But I just find it funny because when you think about last year and having to navigate, you know, every start through nine position players in order, was there a different mentality? Because there's a couple guys that rake that are pitchers. We get that. But there's usually a little break there to get at, you know, it's an out in your mind. What was that like?
Yeah.
For every start?
I'd say there's a lot less kind of active game plan, just because when you have the pitcher in the lineup, like your goal is to have him lead off an inning. So you're kind of pitching, you know, whether it be pitching around guys or, you know, if there's runners on first and second or something, and there's an actual position player up and you see the pitcher up next, like maybe you'll intentionally walk him to go after the pitcher. So there's a lot, it's a lot different actively.
Yeah.
But with all nine hitters, it really was, you didn't have to think about it. You didn't have to, you know, hit a double, leg out a double, and then get three quick outs and be like, crap, I got to go back out to the mound and throw a baseball now. Or hit like a two out double and then, you know, whatever. So yeah, like I said, a lot less active, and more just pitching focus oriented. But you know, it is what it is, man.
is there one guy that you're not looking forward to face as far as like when you're hitting in the box? Like, there's someone that you're just like, you know, I'm good. I'm good. I don't really care for that.
I don't really have that switch, to be completely honest.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like facing everybody. Just to be honest with you.
Yeah. You know, I might agree with you on that one.
Oh my God.
Like, I haven't even seen a pitch yet, which sucks, but I've been here and he's like 100, 101 from the left side.
Yeah. Left side throwing right-handed cutters.
That's ridiculous.
Like, it's amazing. Like, to see the stuff like that. That's the other part. Like, I was going to ask you about, like, it's not about, you know, what happened last year, but seeing the moves that were made, to see the different types of arms, the different guys, because the guys that you guys brought in last year obviously had no success on the field, and that's a fact. Off the field, they were all incredible, right? Like, you guys all got along. They came over and they just were great teammates, all that stuff. What's it like in bringing in like the line change, right? The hockey change of new bullpen.
Everybody's been amazing so far. I think we've picked up right where we left off on the good person level. Everybody that we've brought in has been amazing. There's just a sense of urgency to win. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
people are coming in and we're expecting to win. You know, there's no thought of, you know, what, you know, is something going to happen like last year or anything, or the years prior. There's no talk of that. It's all winning mentality. And you know, it's special just to have guys come in, and you know, it could go a lot of different ways. Like, some guys get traded and, you know, go on the back burner and kind of cruise through their career, or they can get traded and they can come over and try and better themselves and be a valuable teammate and leader. And that's exactly what everybody that's been over here has done. So it really is a special group of guys.
Yeah. Well, it takes a special guy like yourself to help bring them in. I mean, that's the thing, is that like, you guys as a whole, whoever's come in, you guys have embraced. And like, you know, I think a huge one obviously is bringing back a Brad Miller. I trying to think of a person that said, like hesitated with Brad Miller, like when you ask about him, but there's still no hesitation. I'm like, what's Brad Miller like? And it's like, amazing. You know, like,
you won't find a guy out there that doesn't like Brad. Brad is absolutely amazing. He's one of the funniest guys you'll ever meet. And he's just a winner, absolute winner. And those two go so well, just being able to play loose and have fun and be in constant communication about baseball and the game and life. It's so much fun. We're so happy to have him back.
And a guy like Matt Joyce. I mean, like two guys, obviously Matt Joyce has to make the team, but there are very similar qualities with those two. They've been on very successful teams for a reason. It's not just because of them, but they're brought in to, you know, continue the ways of how those things are going.
Exactly. It's special kind of people, man, just to bring those guys in and just have a winning attitude, an experienced winning attitude. It's just, you know, you can't teach that.
No, you can't. All right. So next outing for you is going to be on Saturday. I believe that is correct. Are you into the point now of spring training where it's like, yeah, I'm working on things, I'm just trying to get my pitch count up? Or is there a specific pitch that you're trying to do? I think that's been the case for some, is like, you come into spring wanting to, you know, accomplish something. What's yours?
Yeah. So a couple of different things. You know, right now I'm in the mentality of building up my pitch count, staying healthy, and just making sure I'm full go for season, which is, you know, I'm trending in the right path for. Another thing is I want to mix in a lot more change ups and really get that pitch going. But there's nothing really in particular. It's just go out there, be myself, throw consistent strikes, keep hitters off balance, you know, in a way, up, down, you know, mixing in everything, making sure that I'm comfortable throwing every single pitch and every single count heading into end of the season.
You only threw 49 last year in your changeup. How many grips have you had of the changeup? Ooh. Trying to figure it out.
Great question. I've bounced back with a couple. I used to have one when I was with San Diego. It's actually changeup used to be my best pitch when I was over with those guys. And I've kind of morphed my grip a little bit from that one.
Yeah.
In the past, the past couple of years, it's been a pretty hard, almost like running into my sinker pitch. So it's almost just been a BP heater.
Yeah.
So to be able to, you know, maybe throw the ball a little bit further back into my hand and you know, slow the ball down a little bit, get a little bit more depth, and, you know, just to keep guys off balance, I think is going to be huge for me. But to come off of last season with the curveball that I had and the consistency with my sinker and four seam, I think the changes are just going to better all of my pitches. And it's just going to be something for guys like you to have to think about. And that's my goal.
Oh, for sure. Like the change was the biggest a-hole pitch out there.
Yeah. Yep.
Cause like, you're just like, oh, sinker. We faced Brandon Webb when I came up, right? That was like no fun. At any point with all the technology that goes on, did you ever try to like look up Devin Williams's changeup and see if you could replicate that?
Oh, never.
Have you seen the numbers on him?
No, I haven't.
So off that pitch last year, he threw it 53% of the time for the Brewers. And on an ending pitch, teams were 2 for 62 off of it.
Oof.
It's 2,852 miles or RPMs, which is like better than most curveballs. 1,000 more. I bring it up because it's 1,000 more RPMs than what yours is. How is that?
That is
possible?
Crazy. I don't know. I haven't even seen him throw a changeup. That's incredible. I don't know how you do that. So that RPMs is that spinning backwards? Is it sideways? Is it forwards? Like,
bro, you have a better idea of that than I do. I'm like looking at this thing going, so who do you get matched up with? McClanahan, you know, the lefty from Tampa. His curveball and Devin Williams's changeup move exactly the same with the same amount of spin. How about that? One's a righty, one's a lefty.
that just makes my head hurt.
That's unbelievable. That's just because with the technology, you know, being able to slow things down, is that part of how you get comfortable with the changeup? Or is it, you know, it's a comfort pitch, it's a feel pitch, but it's also a confidence pitch. You went through that with your curveball. How similar is it as far as developing and redeveloping that pitch?
I think it's really important. I got to a point in my curveball during the quarantine where I found my release point. I finally found what it felt like to throw a hard curveball that had really good spin on it. Guys were chasing. So that's a big factor this spring training, is to consistently throw the changeup, to get feedback from it, to be able to kill my backside as in my legs to slow the pitch down with the same release point, arm speed, all of the above. So
you're in a fairway trap. Just think that.
That's it. I'm hitting a 4-iron out of a fairway trap and it's 230 to the green, wind in the face. You know, how are you going to do it? So it's been nice to have, you know, feedback from whether it be inter squad games or against hitters wearing different colored jerseys. So I'm excited for it and look forward to throwing it a lot this year.
Oh, I can't wait. Last one before I let you leave. Thank you for coming on Pine Tar for Breakfast. But are you a DeChambeau fan?
And I'll tell you what, I've never really been a big DeChambeau guy.
No, I
think he thinks too much. I think he's just trying to reinvent the wheel. But watching his tee shot on the par 5 at the Bay Hill Invitational was one of the coolest golf shots I've ever seen in my life.
And the reaction. Moment to see someone just be like, oh!
Exactly. Just a big meathead going up there. Everybody wants him to hit it 500 yards. It's a little right to left wind. He's got to play a little draw, and he could roll up right next to the green. And as soon as he clobbers it, he just points up to the sky like it's a long drive competition, man. It was awesome.
Dude, it was so cool. And to do it again and even go further the second time, and then Lee Westwood doing his rendition, just, you know, going I mean, 320 so great. Down
it's
the
like
right
the Kevin
Na,
Tiger Woods, like early walk in putting, you know, it's the same thing.
Oh, so good. I knew you would appreciate that. So I had to ask. So anyway,
yeah, Zach, I appreciate that question.
I appreciate you coming on Pine Tar for breakfast. And, you know, like we could always say, I can't wait to see you again in person. And it's going to be fantastic.
Absolutely. Can't wait, man.
All right, dude. Thank you.
Yep. Absolutely. Anytime.
Oh, aren't I lucky to get one of the starting pitchers, one of our favorites, one of my favorites, and Zach Eflin to join me right here on Pine Tar for breakfast. Again, he is throwing on Saturday. That is going to be his next scheduled start. I believe that's against the Tigers. Again, not fully positive, but it's pretty good. Pretty good chance because it's either them or the Blue Jays or the Yankees or the Pirates. So you're saying there's a chance? Yeah, there's a chance. There's a good chance that he could be pitching against the Tigers. So why not? Big year expected, and I can't wait to see the development of the changeup, because it's been something that he's been working on, wanting to have, and now it's game time to put it into play. So Zach Eflin, appreciate it for coming on Pine Tar for Breakfast. Appreciate you for listening to Pine Tar for Breakfast. At Kevin Franzen on Twitter. Hit me up whenever you want. Peace.
Kevin Franzen
is out of here.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. You guys know I'm always up for a good MVP story, and one of the best stories is Wasabi Technology. Wasabi is the world's hottest cloud storage company, and it's become the go-to provider for professional and collegiate sports teams, including 20 Major League Baseball teams like the Red Sox and NHL teams like the Bruins and Vancouver Canucks. Even the Liverpool Football Club is getting in on the Wasabi action. So why is Wasabi the MVP? Well, Wasabi was purpose-built to free businesses from skyrocketing storage costs and unpredictable transaction fees that the Amazons of the world are charging. In fact, Wasabi is up to 80% less than those hyperscalers and doesn't charge a cent for businesses to access their data. From Wasabi's AI-enabled intelligent media storage, Wasabi Air, to the industry's only cloud storage service with triple protection against cyber criminals, data deletion, and ransomware, Wasabi's taking the lead in driving innovation in data storage and helping sports teams to unleash the power of their data. Wasabi, another Boston-based championship team.